Rory, can everybody hear me?
Yeah, it's all right.
Hello, can everybody hear me?
Yes! Oh, in one ear, Jake, for that.
Okay, now that's faster than the one ear, so that's fine. Sort of this first pressed upon me, so I thought I'd do it. We all know. As we're on the Easter period, there's always one verse that comes to mind. The verse in question is, of course, a verse given unto us by Jesus himself, as he explained to Nicodemus the meaning of the new birth within Christ. A sort of a comment, a prediction of what would happen with Jesus even before he was placed upon the cross. The verse that's been translated 2,300 times to different languages and dialects. The verse most Christians know off by heart, and probably the first verse we all remember. So what is the verse? John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But have we become content with this verse? Has it lost its punch in our lives? It's quite interesting. This week I read on the BBC webpage that Easter has become the new Christmas, the second Christmas, because you get carrots shaped as crackers, trees that can be decorated. So the question is, has it become commercialized? And is the tree really lost? Well, the answer should be, of course, no. As we as Christians should know the true meaning of Easter and not what the world tells us Easter is about. So today I would like to look at three points within the verse that sort of stood out to me while I was reading and it came to me. The first point is love. The second one, belief. And thirdly, eternal life. So let's start with eternal life. Whenever I hear the term eternal life, I always think of the 1990s TV and movie series, The Highlander, where people lived forever. Now, since Bob Stacey's head. Originally, I thought, this is a brilliant idea, living forever. But then as you really sit and think about it, would you want to live forever? Think about it. Would there not be a lot of pain and sorrow within your lives? So the question is, why would anybody want eternal life? Eternal life may not sit comfortably with us all, as we are in all different places within our lives. Currently, we might be in a situation that you can't see wanting to be there for all eternity. So we have to bear this in mind when we speak to people, quoting this wonderful verse, that people's places in their lives are different, and they might not be able to see past the present. But then the one verse that stood out to me was 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. So fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. But luckily, this eternal life that is spoken to us here within these words is not our current situation, but rather a new start in God. The eternal life given to us is not continuation of our current lives. It is a godly gift. A gift that is given to us by Jesus Christ. If we read further on in the Gospel of John, we come across John 17, verse 3, which says, "Now this is eternal life, that you know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." Before the eternal life, we were separated by sin from God. Though through the gift of eternal life, we've already been judged, made right in God's eyes. Thus, we can start sharing this wonderful life within God. We can experience the world in its beauty, experience heaven on earth right now, because we are in the presence of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We can sort of look at the world with godly goggles. Which brings me on to my next point of belief. Every one of us sat here today trusting something or somebody. But how is our belief? Examples of belief that always come to mind is the centurion servant that was ill. When he called upon Jesus to come and heal him, and he didn't feel worthy for that Jesus to enter his house. He just said, "Speak the words." And God, of course, replied with, Go, let it be done as you believed it would. Or what about Mark 11 verse 23? Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. But for now, let us look at the verses surrounding the famous verse that we all know of by heart. John 3, verse 14 to 15, and John 3, verse 18. John 3, 14 to 15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. What about 18? Whoever believes in him shall not be condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's begotten Son. Verse 14 and 15 is one of those verses that I always find so interesting about the Bible, and one of the favorites of mine, that it makes a reference to the Old Testament, sort of showing that the Bible is not just another book, but a book inspired by God.
Yeah.
Of course, the backstory to this is the Israelites had been led out of Egypt by God to the promised land. But yet it was a nation that was always complaining. And so many times Moses had to beg for God not to destroy them.
Yeah.
And eventually God sent the snakes so that they could experience true belief. Sending the poisonous snakes. But what is the true meaning? Or what is the importance of the verse? The verse gives us indication of true belief. Just by looking at a bronze statue and believing that you would be healed, you were healed. How strange is that? Here's a nation that, bearing in mind, that was in the presence daily of God, cloud by day and fire by night.
Yeah.
Yet they still did not believe. So God instructed Moses to put his snake on the pole for the people to look up to. The snake was raised above the people, just as Jesus would be raised above the people eventually. Thus the way the people looked up to the snake and believed, so we must look up to Jesus, believe he will heal us and give us a new life. Verse 18 does have a bit of a gloom and a doom about it, but I'm sure God is talking here about the people that has completely rejected him and not believing in him at all, rather than us that have the occasional slip in our lives, which is sort of confirmed in 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life. So, we have received eternal life by believing in Jesus. What a wonderful thought then, that despite all our human shortcomings, we have a God that loves us beyond any human perspective. Which brings me to the next point of love. As the Beatles famously said, all you need is love. But let's rather see what the Bible says.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, but by all means read the rest. If I speak in tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and fathom all the mysteries of knowledge and have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give my body to hardship, but I boast that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. But of course, this is a human love, not a godly love spoken to us here about. We sang it earlier, so it ties in quite nicely what I've got here. God loves because he is love. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
God's love is a never-ending love. He loved. I have loved you with an everlasting love, God tells us. His love always gives first. We love because he loved us. God's love is precious beyond any words. So how do we know that God's love that he's given to us is so wonderful? Well, it's within the verse itself. So loved the world. It is a love motivated to send his only son for us. How common is that? Think about it in human terms. What father raises his child to be a sacrifice for other people's wrongdoings? And this is sort of point that, bear in mind that God is an all-knowing God. He knew what would happen to Jesus, yet he still sent his son to die for us. How would Jesus looked to God at the point when he was nailed onto the cross? I think it was a terrible sight for God. This is sort of how I see it, and it's actually in the Bible. So sorry, my Aramaic is not the best. It says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" How scared and lonely Jesus was not have felt at that moment. His own father could not look upon him. Remembering that there has never been a moment where Jesus has been separated from God. Thus, God paid a very high price to show us his love. The highest price any father could ever pay. The love spoken about in John 3 verse 16 puts God's gospel of love in great perspective. God's love is always pure and always holy. And always seeks out what is the best for his objects of love. His love is not biased, self-centered, or selfish. His love is given to us without expecting anything in return. It is a giving love, not an asking love. It is a love that reaches out to people. The verse provides us with a pattern of how we should love others within any relationship that we are in ourselves. Jesus took the burden of sins upon him so that we would have a new life in God. Jesus died a physical death, but more importantly, a spiritual death, so that we would never be separated from God's amazing love. The best about this love, of course, is it's free. Thus, the real true love. And this is the way we must be in love with God. When we speak about the love God has put upon us in our lives, when we speak to other people, we must be willing to make our own sacrifice. Thus, experience the love of God together with the people who reach out. And I think it sort of ties in so much great to the mission that we've done to India. By reaching out in God's presence, we can feel the love through that. So let us remember in our daily lives, and not just during the Easter period, the love God has shown us in the sacrifice of his Son. So when we reach out in true love. And then to summarize, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But it was a bit short.